Amen. He can't help but be, he is faithful. It's just who he is. It's just his nature. God is faithful. Thank God for that. I'm glad he's my friend too. Amen. The Bible says that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Those of you that have siblings, you might fight a little bit, but when it comes down to it, you love them. He's a friend closer than that. He's a friend to publicans and sinners. Aren't you glad of that? I know I am. Amen. We're actually going to talk about that a little bit this morning in some ways, how that's who Jesus is. We've been in the book of James on Sunday nights, and I got the call yesterday afternoon. Pastor told me I should prepare to preach, that he wasn't feeling well and didn't think he would be here this morning. And so I just thought, well, I'm just going to stick with where I'm at in the book of James. That's what I've been studying and was planning to preach this afternoon. And so just kind of put it in high gear, knowing I wouldn't have Sunday afternoon to kind of get prepared a little extra. But so I'm going to be in James chapter number 2. And I would say this for those of you that don't come on Sunday nights, we're early in this study in the book of James. We've been in the book of James for I don't know how many months now. Chapter 1 was kind of slow going. I took it a little section by section. But we're going to kind of pick things up now. As you can see, we read 13 verses instead of one or two like we've been doing. But we're doing the book of James on Sunday nights. And so if you don't come on Sunday nights, I'd encourage you to come. Won't be preaching this Sunday night. Pastor Brian will be preaching tonight. But Lord willing, next Sunday night, we'll pick back up in where we leave off today in the book of James. James has always been one of my favorite books of the Bible. I don't know about you, but ever since I've been a Christian, I've loved the book of James. When I couldn't think of where to read in my Bible, I always find myself either going to Proverbs or the book of James. And it's been that way for years, and it's still that way today. I think one of the reasons is because the book of James, as we're going to see this morning, and as I've mentioned numerous times throughout this series, is a very practical book. The book of James is topics and thoughts that apply to our lives every day, right? There's some sections of Scripture in the Bible that you may read and you kind of think, I don't understand that, or I don't know how that applies, and it takes a little more study to find the truth, but the book of James is kind of just right there, right? The first message we preached in James, I said it's a pointed book. James doesn't beat around the bush. He just gets right to it. We're going to see that here in a couple moments. It's a practical book. You can apply it to your life, but it's also a profitable book. All the Bible's profitable. The Word of God is profitable, right? But the book of James is something that's very profitable. Every day in our life, we can use the things that James teaches on. And so we're going to look at something this morning. You know, I thought of another reason I love the book of James, and you'll see this as we continue the study, but I just maybe whet your appetite a little bit about it. You know, James uses a lot of illustrations. I don't think that I realized that in the past when I was studying or reading through the book of James. I don't know that I realized how many illustrations he uses. What we're going to look at today, James uses an illustration. I personally believe that in the verses in verse number 2 through verse number 4 or 5, I don't think this is an actual situation. Now, some do. I think James is given a hypothetical, an illustration. It probably has happened, but I don't think that James is given an actual event. He's just given an illustration to teach the truth that he's trying to get across. As we just looked at 2 weeks ago when we were in chapter 1, and he gave the illustration of the mirror. Remember that, those of you that were here? James talked about that mirror in James chapter number 1, and he talked about, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He's looking into a mirror. And we talked about those two men, the one that was the doer, that looked in the mirror and saw what was there, and he did something about it. And then we looked at the deceived one, right? The one that he looked in the mirror, he saw what was there, but he went on about his business and did not respond or react to what he saw. And the Bible said he's deceiving himself. That's what James said. He said that if you're a hearer only and not a doer, you're deceiving yourself, right? And so we looked at that illustration that James gave, and I think that in chapter number 2, it could be that James is just kind of continuing that thought. right? And so we're going to look at another section that James teaches, but it kind of connects to what he just said. And we're going to talk about a topic this morning that, if I'm honest with you, I don't think I would have picked to preach on a Sunday morning, okay? I probably would have preferred to preach this on Sunday night. But God had different plans, and God is in control. And so I'm just going to trust that God thought that we needed to hear this message this morning. Now, before I get into it, I do want to say a couple things. I want to be intentional about what I say this morning. I'm probably going to preach a little different than I normally do. Maybe. I don't know. But I want to be a little more intentional. Sometimes I just kind of shoot from the hip, and I don't want you to mix up anything I'm about to say. And so I want to kind of pick my words a little wisely. But I'm going to talk to you this morning about partiality. Partiality. Now, I will say this in way of introduction. I am thankful to be a part of a church that I believe is very good, not perfect, no church is perfect, but very good in the topic that I'm about to preach on. Okay, so overall, as a church, I believe personally, I could be wrong, I'm a little biased to Fellowship Baptist Church. That's what partiality is. It's biased, right? It's a preconceived idea. I'm a little partial, you could say, to Fellowship Baptist Church. And I hope that you are. It's your church, right? I hope that's why you're here, because you're partial to it. And so I think Fellowship Baptist Church is good as a whole in some of these areas, but how about us as individuals? You say, what is partiality, Brother Dan? It's not a word we use a lot in our day, but partiality is this. I looked it up. It's an unfair bias in favor of one thing. We understand what a bias is. Or it's an unfair bias in one thing or person compared with another. It would be another word we would use is to discriminate or to have prejudice, right? Partiality is being prejudiced. If you were to look up synonyms for the word partiality, you're going to find prejudice. You're going to find discrimination. You're going to find bias. Right, and so it's to have prejudice or an unfair preference. Does that make sense to you? That's what James is talking about here in James chapter number 2. He's talking about Christians, and I do believe James is talking to Christians, and he's talking to them about partiality, about being biased believers. He's talking to them about their prejudices, about their preferences. You understand what I'm saying? And so we're going to look at that this morning from the Bible. Now, I understand this can be a very controversial topic, but it shouldn't be. This should not be a controversial topic. Amen? It's actually a topic that I think the Scripture is very clear about. And so the first point I have this morning is this: the sin of partiality. The sin of partiality. Now, you fill in the blank of prejudice. Of preference-based Christianity, of being biased, right? That's a sin. You say, can you prove that, Brother David? I think James said it, verse number 1. He said, brethren, be not. I'm in chapter 3. My brethren, have not, right? Chapter 3 is be not. Chapter 2 is have not. Brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Look at this. With respect of persons. That's with partiality. He says, don't be a Christian and be prejudiced. Don't be a Christian and be partial. Don't be a Christian and be biased. He says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. I mean, you could preach just on that verse alone. There's a lot of preaching in that verse right there. He says, with respect of persons. And he goes on in verse number 9. Look at verse number 9. He says, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. It doesn't get any more clear than that, brother. So the next time you try to convince yourself, and I'm not saying that you would, but there are those that do, the next time you try to convince yourself that your prejudice or your partiality or your bias is okay with God, the Bible's very clear. James said, look at verse 9, if you have respect of persons, ye commit sin. Straight up, straight to the point. Remember I said James is pointed? James is getting right to the point. He said, just in case you didn't understand when I said it in verse number one, when I said that you shouldn't have the faith of the Lord Jesus and respect of persons, in case you didn't understand what I was saying, let me make it real clear. James does that a lot. He says, let me just make it real clear. If you have respect of persons, if you're partial, if you're prejudiced to certain people, he says, ye commit sin. Doesn't get any clearer than that. The Bible's full of it. I'm going to read a couple verses to you. Proverbs 24, 25 says, it is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Proverbs 28, 21, to have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15, in the law, God said this, thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Did you catch that? He said, don't be partial towards the poor or towards the rich, but in righteousness judge thy neighbor. He said, don't have respect of people. Don't be prejudiced. Amen. Don't be partial, right? In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 17, it says, ye shall not have respect of persons in judgment. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 says, for the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons. How about that? I read that verse and wrote it down, and as I was writing it down, I was like, wow. It says, the Lord your God is a capital G God of little g gods. It says he is the Lord, capital L, of little l lords. He says he's a great God. He's a mighty and a terrible God. And then he goes on to say, which regardeth not persons. As great as God is, are you with me, brethren? I already kind of said I don't think that this is something that we as a whole at Fellowship Baptist Church struggle with, but I think it's something if we're not careful individually, we can struggle with. And God said, don't have respect to persons. Can I tell you, you or I or no one in this building is any better than God? God is a great God. He's a mighty God. He's a terrible God. That means he's an awesome God, and he doesn't respect people. Amen. They're all equal. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. Rich, poor, God loves everyone. That's not just a song we teach the children. It's not just something that we say to make us feel good. It's the truth. God so loved the world. God loves everybody. God doesn't respect me. You know, this truth that I'm preaching this morning, I'm not going to get into it, but this truth I'm teaching this morning to me is one of the biggest ways to debunk Calvinism. Calvinism teaches that God has chosen some to be saved and some to be lost. That sounds like respect of persons to me. And the Bible's very clear, God's not a respecter of persons. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God will save anybody that wants to be saved. And so God is not a respecter of persons. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 7 says, there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons. Romans chapter 2, you say, well, that's Old Testament, Brother David. Romans chapter 2, verse 11, the Apostle Paul writing to Rome there, he said, there is no respect of persons with God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 9 says, your master, talking about, in Ephesians chapter 6, he's talking about that master and his servant, that owner, and in this day it would have been a slave or a servant, or that employer and his employee. And he goes on, he says, your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. He says, don't you respect one of your servants, one of your employees, higher than another just because of certain things. And I'm going to get into some things. I want to be intentional. I want to clarify a couple things for you, okay? But God is not a respecter of persons. The Bible is very clear about that. We could go on and on. In the book of Acts, when God sent Peter there, I think it's chapter 9, 10, I don't know, when he sent him to the Gentiles, he made it very clear, Peter, it's for everybody. The gospel's not just for the Jew, it's for the Greek, it's for the barbarian, it's for the Gentile, it's for everyone. God is not a respecter of persons. And we could go on and on with examples and illustrations of this, but I don't think it gets any clearer than verse number 9. God made it very clear under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. James said, if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin. It doesn't get any clearer than that. And so I just am trying to present to you this morning that partiality is sin. The sin of partiality. Now, I want to make it clear what I mean when I say that. I think this is not talking about giving honor where honor is due. You understand that, right? That's not partiality. Giving honor where honor is due. You say, well, sometimes when we have people come here, a guest preacher or a pastor or some aged person, we give them a better seat or we respect them a little more highly. You know, the Bible says that we ought to give honor where honor is due. That's in the home. Children, honor your father and mother. That's in the church. You know, that we're to honor, that we're to regard and obey them that have the rule over us. That's in the workplace. You ought to respect and you ought to show honor to your employer. That's in the out in public. There's military. There's police officers, and we will show them a respect or an honor for their service. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. And I think you understand that. That's not what James is talking about. James is talking about partiality as a mindset, someone that thinks they're better than someone else just because of. Fill in the blank. Just because of. We'll talk about a couple of the, I'm talking about the sin of partiality. Here in a moment I'm going to get into the specifics of partiality. But just so you understand, it's not eliminating showing respect where respect is due, or showing honor where honor is due. The Bible is very clear that we are to do that. But the Bible is also very clear that we are not to show partiality, preference, prejudice, or discriminate or bias towards people just because. It's a mindset. I think that's what James is talking about. He's talking about a mindset. Look at verse number 4. He said, "Are ye not then partial in yourselves? In your mind, are you become judges of evil thoughts? You think you know?" That's what James is saying. He's saying, if you do this, have you not gotten your mind that you're God, that you're the one that understands, that you're the one that makes the calls, that you're the judge of good and evil, you're the judge of what's right and what's wrong? You've made yourself that way. It's a mindset. It's a mindset that I'm better than someone else just because of my social status, because of my skin color. You understand? This James is practical, right? There's some people that they think they're better than other people. They just got that mindset. Can I tell you, they wasn't born with it. Now, they were born with a sin nature, but most of the time people were taught that. Children or babies back here in the nursery aren't prejudiced. They're taught to be. Right? And so prejudice and partiality is something that we develop. Maybe we got it from somebody else, or maybe we got it from our own sin nature from within us. But either way, it's a mindset that I'm better than somebody else because, fill in the blank. And not only is it a mindset, it has to do with the motive. I think that you can find here in James. James says in verse number 2, if they're coming to your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and they're coming a poor man, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. That's not today's gay clothing, just so you know, okay? But can I tell you this? You ought to respect them too. Amen. And I wasn't trying to like get you to laugh and stab you. I didn't mean that. I meant that's partiality. Somebody comes in here with gay clothing, and I don't mean what James means. I mean for real gay clothing. We ought to treat them the same way as anybody else that walks in here. Right. And we do as a whole, and I thank God for that. Right. I'm glad to be a part of a church that's not known for being partial. But can I tell you, I don't want to be that way in my own personal life. But if I'm not careful, I can be. And you can be. And so James is saying, he's saying it's about a mindset. It's about a motive. I think that this man, he's talking to this rich man. The rich man comes in, he says, "Oh, you have a seat right here. I got a seat for you. Let me march you on down front and sit you right down front." Yeah, I'll give you an example. I thought about an example, and I'll give it to you in a second. So it's for our own advancement, right? Oh, this person, they might be a big giver, right? They might get me ahead, so let me bring them on down and give them the good seat. But this poor person that looks real poor, looks like they came off the street, we'll just kind of set them in the back. Now I don't think that happens here, and I thank God for that. But can I tell you, it does happen some places. It ought not be that way. It's a sin. It's a sin. Partiality, prejudice, and I understand we're right here. We're on the brink of the. Some people try to say we're not, but we're below the Mason-Dixon line. Okay. It's okay. And below the Mason-Dixon line, some people pride themselves in their prejudice. Can I tell you, pride and prejudice are both sins. So I wouldn't be doing that. Okay? Pride in yourself and your prejudice is showing you're a sinner. Because both of those are sin. Right? And so I understand what I'm saying this morning.
So let's not be partial. It's a sin to be partial. So number one, we see the sin of partiality. Number two, I want to look at the specifics of partiality. I believe that this sin could apply in many ways, and I think James is just illustrating one of those to us in these verses. Okay, so before somebody gets into this, that's not what James is talking about. He's talking about the rich and the poor. I do believe James is talking about the rich and the poor, but I believe James is going beyond that, and I'll show you why here in just a moment. I think by the fact that he uses verse number 8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. He's talking about the royal law. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your neighbor as yourself. James is just using this rich and poor person as an illustration to prove a point, okay? So he's not just talking about partiality when it comes to people's money. He's talking about any type of partiality, any type of preference, any type of prejudice. James is just using this as an illustration for that truth. You understand what I'm saying? And so we can see the specifics. And so I want to give you a couple specifics that I think apply to our lives and areas that we must guard against partiality. Now, this is not inclusive. This is not everything there is with partiality. But I want to give you a couple. I'm going to give you the three big R's, okay, in our day. And I kind of already mentioned two of them. Number one, riches. Since James used that illustration, I'm going to use it first. And for sake of alliteration, I'm going to use the word riches. James says, don't treat someone with riches different than you treat someone that's poor. Don't show partiality because of someone's position, right? Because of their social status over someone that's not, right? James says, don't do that. And if we're not careful, we can do that. See, you may not admit it, but I will. If we're not careful, we'll give certain people a little more partiality, a little more preference just because of who they are and what they have. I thought about a politician walked in here. We've had some politicians walk in this church, numerous politicians. And it always just amazes me it's around elections. That ought to tell you everything you need to know. But you know what? If we're not careful, what we'll do? Mr. such and such, and I won't say names. I wouldn't mind. Wouldn't bother me a bit because some of them have showed up around election time. We ain't seen them since, right? But come here, sir, Mr. Senator such and such, Mr. Congressman such and such, Mr. running for local whatever such and such. Have a seat right here down front. We'll even have you come up and say a word, right? You know what that can be? Partiality. Giving preference to somebody because of their position, because they're in politics. And I understand. Don't get me wrong. There are some people that deserve it. I already made that clear. There are some people that are on the front lines fighting for our freedoms. Some of them are doing it with a gun, and some of them are doing it in government. Okay? Did I say that? Everybody with me? So I'm not preaching against those. Next time we have Mr. Politician come in here and we allow him to get up and say something, don't be sitting over there saying, Brother David thinks that's wrong. I didn't say it was wrong. Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes there are men that are on the front lines and they can't be here every Sunday because they're at their local church and they're supporting their congregation and they're doing what God has led them to do, and they're on the front lines fighting for our freedoms in government. No different than there's men that are good God-fearing men that are in the military and they can't be here every Sunday. They're out on the battlefield fighting with their guns. And we respect them. And we honor them just like we honor that politicians that's doing it. But what I am saying is, if all that is, we shouldn't have a mindset. You understand what I'm saying? We shouldn't have a mindset that just because somebody is famous or just because somebody has some clout, they have some money, that we're going to treat them different than somebody else. I'll give you another example. If an actor were to walk in here, we ought not treat that actor any different than we would treat somebody that walked in here off the street. If it was an athlete, some sports person that everybody knows walks into this church, we ought not go fawning all over them and give them special treatment just because they can shoot a basketball. We ought to respect them. We ought to love them. We ought to honor them. We ought to be nice to them. But we ought to do that for anybody that walks through those doors. We ought to treat them just the way we treat everybody else, because at the foot of the cross, it's level. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter what your position in life is, what your social status is, how much money's in your banking account. None of that matters when you walk through these doors. Because our God, that doesn't impress him. Our bank accounts, our money, our 401ks, our land, our houses, our name down at the job, our accolades, our PhD and DDD and whatever else, it doesn't impress God. God's no respecter of persons. And I'm not minimizing that. I hope you understand. It's a mindset. Give honor where honor's due. But treat people equal. Amen. That's what James is saying. And so we talk about riches, right? James chapter 1. I think James, we shouldn't treat anybody different that walks through this door. I said we shouldn't treat an athlete any different than we treat an orphan. Amen. Right? We shouldn't treat a rich person any different than we treat a widow. That's what James said in chapter 1. That's what he finished with. I think this all connects. Look at verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled of chapter 1 before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. James said, go down there and minister to those orphans, to those widows. They were poor people in that day. And James said, that's the people you need to be ministering to. And so, you understand, riches. I'm going to give you three. I'm going to hurry up. So, number one, riches. We've got to guard against that. Not being partial because of someone's social status, because of the money that they have, or the clout, the position that they're in. Number two, race. That's a big one. I think it's a shame. I said I'm going to be very intentional in my words. I think it is a shame that one of the most segregated places in our country is our churches.
Amen.
Have you ever thought about that? One of the most segregated places in the United States of America is the church. You go in the workplace, every race, every tribe, every tongue. You go to the Walmart. You go to the sporting event. You go anywhere in this country, just about. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a mixture. But you walk into most churches, even today in 2024, in most churches, it's a white church. It's a black church. It's a Hispanic church. We got Spanish church. I understand there's reasons for that. And that's okay. I understand that. Some of it is cultural. Some of it is language. There's different reasons, but I'm talking about a mindset this morning. Anybody that walks through that door, no matter the color of their skin, no matter what language they speak, no matter what country they come from, we ought to treat them the same way as we treat that local that's lived in Madison County their entire life. Without partiality, without respect of persons, that's what James is talking about. James is, and now can I tell you, James is writing this letter to some racist people. You read the Bible. Them Jews and them Samaritans and them fill in the blanks, they all hated each other. And James is saying, it ought not be that way. You ought not have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ought not be a Christian and show partiality to a certain group of people because of their riches or because of their race. Number three. And did I spend enough time on that? I think so. Some churches, you probably have to preach a 4-week series on that. I'm glad it's not in this church. I'll even go as far as this, and please don't take me wrong. I've said this as much or as maybe more than anyone in this building, and so I'm careful as I say this. But sometimes it bothers, and I understand, so please don't take what I'm saying wrong. I might not just say it. God, should I say it? Sometimes I'm bothered when we start, like the bus kids, the church kids. They're kids. They're kids. Now I understand. Some of you are an adult and you grew up and you rode a bus and you wear that as a badge. I was a bus kid. God's come and reached my family, used a bus worker, used the church, and reached my family when my family wouldn't come to church. And for that, I say thank you. And I think it's great. I think the bus ministry is a wonderful ministry. But I think if we're not careful, sometimes we'll get in our heads that somebody that rides the bus or somebody that comes in with their parents to church, like there's no difference. And I know our church knows that, but sometimes we're not careful. We can say things and it begins to get in our mind and we begin to get partial. Like that makes a difference. That doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter how you got here this morning. What matters is you're here and God loves you. Amen. And we do too. I'm glad to be a part. I want you to understand, this is not a condemning message to Fellowship Baptist Church. If anything, it is a congratulation message to Fellowship Baptist Church, because I don't think it's this way everywhere, but I sure am glad to be a part of a church that overall never shows partiality. We treat everybody the same that walks through those doors. We try to. If you're here this morning and you don't feel like you got treated the same as everybody else, I want to tell you this morning, I'm sorry, because that's not our goal. You're as welcome here as a charter member. We're glad you're here. Some of them we kind of, no, just playing. I'm just joking. That's a joke. Y'all scratch that. Pastor's watching, right? So number one, riches. Number two, race. I'm almost done. Number three, religion. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. If we're not careful, we will show partiality against people that don't believe the way we do. We do. Somebody walks in here and they're dressed in their Muslim garb, everybody be like, y'all get Tracy to keep an eye on. How crazy is it? I mean, really, think about it. I'm going to get done here in a second. How crazy is it? That's my next point. I'm going to move right to my next point. The silliness of partiality. It's silly. How crazy is it for our church to give 100, how many this year, James, do you know? Missions, what was our faith promise goal? 130. Brother Dave, you know? $150,000, 1 year. This church has pledged to give $150,000 this year. Not last year. We gave 130-some last year. Maybe even 150. I don't know. But just, you get my understanding. This church, we have $150,000 to send missionaries to Muslim countries, to Hindu countries, to Catholic countries, to fill in the blank, all these countries where there's false religion. We're going to send thousands of dollars, our missionaries, our people, to those countries to reach those people. But then one of them walk through our door and we're going to treat them different? That's crazy. That's silly. I know where I'm at, and I'm not want to make this a political message, but can I tell you that rather than scream and holler about immigration in our country, and it is an issue, don't put words in my mouth, but what we ought to be trying to do is reach them. Win them to Jesus. That's what Christians do. James says you're a Christian. Don't show respect to persons. Why, James? He said, because that's silly. What? That doesn't even make sense. It's silly, right? He says it's inconsistent. You, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. James said it doesn't even make sense to be a Christian. It's illogical. It's inconsistent with Christianity. He said you were poor. Hath not God chosen the poor and made them heirs of the kingdom? What if God was the way we are sometimes? What if God viewed people the way we view people sometimes? You know where we'd be? In hell. If God viewed us Gentile dogs the way that the Jews viewed us Gentile dogs, we'd be in hell. But God loved us in spite of our race, in spite of our social status, our riches, in spite of our religion. Some of us were steeped in false religion. Some grew up in some false religion. Some just had the religion of humanism or atheism. I mean, there's all kinds of different religions out there. It's a belief system. And if somebody walks through those doors that believes a way that we don't believe politically, socially, religiously, any other way, We ought to treat them the same way as anybody else that walks through those doors. Are you with me? I hope you're with me. I said, I understand it's a hot topic, and I understand that if you want to try to get into a debate and kind of try to back me in a corner, you might be able to, but I don't know. We're going to send missionaries all that money. We're going to put all that money into it and send missionaries to reach people in other places, and then God send ones here, and we're like, we don't want them here. What? What? That's silly. That's inconsistent. James said, that's illogical. It doesn't even make sense. That's what he says in verse number five. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? He says, well, it doesn't even make sense. Think about what you're doing. He's using the illustration of a rich person. He says, you're showing preference towards this rich person and treating this poor person a certain way. Don't you know that God has saved so many poor people, you being one of them? Why would you do that? It doesn't make sense. And I'm glad we don't. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to us. We got to guard against this. So we see the sin of partiality, the silliness of partiality, specifics of partiality, the silliness of partiality, and then I'm done with this, the solution of partiality. I think there's a lot to be said about this, and I'm not going to try to preach it. I think it boils down pretty much to what James has already taught in chapter 1 and what he's going to teach in this next section in chapter number 2. I think that's what it boils down to. What has James already taught? Verse number 22 of chapter 1. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James says, for your pure religion, undefiled for God and the Father, is to visit the fatherless and the widows and their affliction. James says, you want to know the solution to partiality? Just be a Christian. Just do what the Bible says do. Live out your faith. Have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Act like a Christian. Ain't that what James has been talking about? Those of you that have been with me on Sunday nights, James has talked about, you're a Christian. Live like it. Amen. Live like it. Don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer. You say, well, I've always been that way. Well, change. Don't look in the mirror and walk away the same way. You say, I've had that partiality all my life. I just can't help it. Well, don't be that deceived man that looks in the mirror and sees himself as being partial, as being prejudiced, and walks away the same way he came. Be like that doer that looks in the mirror. He sees the way he is. He does something about it. He walks away a changed man. God can do that. God can give a Christian victory over their partiality, over their preferences, over their prejudice. God can do that. James says, just live out your faith. That's what we're going to look at next week. He said, faith without works is dead. James said, you're a Christian. You say you're a Christian. You say you have faith, then live like it. Do it. It's the same thing that Jesus said. Well, look at chapter 2. Look at verse number 12. James says, so speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. He said, speak and do as someone that's going to be judged by the law of liberty. He says, just live it out. Do what you say. You know, we say a lot. We say, God so loved the world. We say, Jesus loves the world. I was trying to think of a song, but I don't want to sing it. I go to singing, y'all. I'll get all y'all's attention. Y'all wake up if I go to singing here this morning. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We sing it. Do we do it? Do we do it? Do we love those that are not in our social class, don't have the riches that we have? Do we love those that are not of our race? Do we love those that are of a different religion? They've grown up in it their whole life. It's all they know. Do we love them? We should. I don't know if whether y'all agreeing with me or not. I hope so. Amen. It don't matter. God said it, not me. It's the Bible. You say, what's the solution? Just live it out. Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. Jesus said, you want people to love you in spite of your race, in spite of your riches, in spite of your religion? Then love them. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 22, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And he said, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God and love everybody else. And remember that man, he said, who is my neighbor? Jesus gave him a good illustration of who his neighbor was. You remember that? That rich young ruler, Jesus told him to, you know, go sell all that he had. And he said, and he, when I asked him a question, he said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave him that story of the good Samaritan. He said, I guess his neighbor was the one that done good unto him. Right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, the Apostle Paul said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. James says, you want to know the solution to partiality? Treat people the way you want to be treated. Obey, you say, where do you get that from? Verse 8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, that ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So James says, you want to know the solution? Just fulfill the royal law. What's the royal law? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And upon this hangs all the law and the prophets. Do unto others, you'd have them do unto you. Jesus said, treat people the same. Love everybody. I know that sounds like such a, y'all say, you're a liberal. No, I'm a biblical. I'm biblical. The sin of partiality, the specifics of partiality, the silliness of partiality, and the solution. Just be a doer of the word. We start living out the Bible, we're going to love everybody. It's just what's going to happen. You can stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. I appreciate your attention this morning. You can bow your head and close your eyes. I've already said it, and so I'm not backing up or apologizing, but I do want you to know that I truly am not just saying that. I don't just say things. I try not to. I told you I was going to be intentional in my words. I'm glad that I'm a part of a church that practices this. I've been here almost 20 years, and I believe it starts from the top down. Our pastor doesn't treat anybody different. You walk in this church, I don't care where you come from, what you believe, what color your skin is. If you need our pastor's help, he's going to help you. He sat down with people that have same-sex attraction. He sat down with Muslims. He sat down with, you name it, our pastor has counseled anyone and everyone that's walked through the doors of this church. We don't turn anybody away, and I am glad to be a part of a church like that.